Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, today is a special day in the church year. Today, the church celebrates the festival of the Holy Cross, and it dates back for quite some time. In the year 335, there was a church dedicated on that day, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which still exists there today. On this day, it was revealed then, on the 14th, this cross, that people might come and be reminded of our Lord's death. It was honored by Helena, the mother of Emperor Constantine himself. The Holy Cross is a symbol that we as Christians know extremely well. But honestly, the cross is foolishness. It is a folly. It is a stumbling block. That is for anyone who does not believe. Because for us who have been called by his name, it is life. It is salvation. Saint Paul writes these words to the Corinthians. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Yes, it might be foolish to those around us to see that our symbol of a church is somehow God in the flesh nailed to a cross. God's lifeless body is our symbol of hope. As Lutherans, we have long held that the cross, especially with the corpus on it, is a symbol that we hold up. Lift high the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ should always be in our minds. It should be throughout your homes as a reminder of what your God has done for you, a reminder of the love that your God has for you. Back in the 20th century, it became kind of popular to start thinking of an empty cross, as though there shouldn't be the body of Christ on it. And then the claims started coming. Well, this is the Easter cross. This shows that Jesus is risen. But that's not actually true. The cross isn't a symbol of his resurrection. The cross is only a symbol of his death. If you wanted a symbol of his resurrection, you would not use an empty cross. You would use an empty tomb. So as Lutherans, extending back to when Luther reformed the church, have long held the crucifix. That is a cross with the corpus on it. Holding that symbol in front of your eyes allows you to see what your God endured for you. And so it should be on your heart, it should be in your house, as a daily reminder of what Jesus Christ has done. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 23, is a passage that is very important to me and our church. In fact, I have words from 1 Corinthians 1, 23, written right here on the pulpit, in Latin. Praedicamus Christum Crucifixum. We preach Christ crucified. You will see that slogan at the end of my emails. You will see that slogan on my business cards. You will see that phrase. I shouldn't use slogan. Slogan is not the right word. But that word, those words given by the Holy Spirit to St. Paul, we preach Christ crucified, also on our church t-shirts. It is more than just a motto. It is a way of life. St. Peter's exists to proclaim Jesus Christ crucified. When I kneel down here before I get into the pulpit each time, I pray that God would use me to preach Christ crucified. The law and the gospel are both prevalent in that concept. Why does Jesus have to be crucified? Because we are poor, miserable sinners. But then the cross of Christ comes and declares to you, by this cross, your sins are forgiven. By this cross, your wounds are healed by his stripes. By his death you receive life. That is the reality of preaching Christ crucified. That is why we exist. To preach that word. To kill your sinful being and to make you alive in the gospel. That is why we are here, based on the word of God, his law, and his gospel. The sign of the cross is something that we as Christians have long cared about. And it's more than just a symbol. It's more than just a nice piece of artwork that we put in our churches or on our walls or on our necklaces. Because tonight, I want you to remember that you have that cross burned on you. For you have actually been branded by the cross of Jesus Christ. When you were baptized, your pastor said these words, "Receive the sign of the Holy Cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified." So much like cattle are branded to show who they belong to, you have been branded by Jesus to show that you belong to him. That your baptism changes everything. That now you stand as a child of God, remembering your baptism. As Lutherans, for whatever reason in the 20th century and sometime in the late 19th century, we fell away from a long-standing practice that was done by Lutherans. And what I'm talking about here is actually making the sign of the cross. Now, for many of you, you grew up in a time where almost no one in your church probably did that. And when you saw someone do that, you simply associated that with the Roman Catholic Church. And that is a travesty, because it's not true. The fact is that the sign of the cross was made by Christians and already documented in the first and second centuries. Already a reminder of that cross being burned into you in your baptism was done by Christians well before the Bishop of Rome ascended to the papacy. And the fact also is that C.F.W. Walther, the first president of the Missouri Synod, wrote extensively as to why we as Lutherans make the sign of the cross in his publication, Der Luther An. In that publication, he also quotes Johann Gerhard, the most prominent Lutheran theologian of the 17th century. He quotes Tertullian, who said in 200, "We Christians wear out our foreheads with the sign of the cross." He quotes Cyril of Jerusalem. So not only does the first president of the Missouri Synod write extensively as to why we make the sign of the cross, it's also in your small catechism. The fact is that the small catechism is more than just the six chief parts. It is more than the Ten Commandments and the Apostles' Creed. It is more than the Lord's Prayer and the sacrament of holy baptism. It is more than the office of the keys, confession, absolution, and the sacrament of the altar. It also gives us verses for how we are to live. Luther also gives us prayers as examples of how we live our life. So write in your small catechism, and if you don't, I don't want to say if you don't believe me. Regardless, I want you to actually look in your small catechism. Because if you look in there, when you go to the daily prayers, you will see these words. Under morning prayer, it is written, "In the morning, when you get up, make the sign of the holy cross and say." It's always been in the catechism. It is a Lutheran thing. Okay, Pastor, that's the catechism. What else? Did you know it's in the hymnal? I'm sure you've seen those words at the beginning of our divine service tonight. You see these words in red. The sign of the cross may be made by all in remembrance of their baptism. Well, Pastor, that was written in 2006. Don't you know that we're a TLH church? We had TLH, and therefore we stand by TLH. Well, let me read to you something out of the Lutheran hymnal. I keep a copy up here at all times. On page 4, general rubrics, these words are written. The sign of the cross may be made at the Trinitarian invocation and at the words of the Nicene Creed and the life of the world to come. It's a may rubric. It doesn't mean you have to. If you don't make the sign of the cross, you are still a baptized child of God. But the fact remains is that it is a Lutheran practice. It has always been a Lutheran practice. And why should the Roman Catholics get all that good Lutheran practice? Why can't we as Lutherans get good historic Lutheran practice too? To make the sign of the cross is not a confession that we're somehow like Roman Catholics. It is a confession that I belong to God. It is a confession to the devil, to the world, and a reminder to your own sinful flesh that you belong to Jesus. They cannot have you. You are his. So that when you remember this baptism, when you hear those words with which you were baptized, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, you are reminded that you are his. You're telling the devil the same thing. It doesn't matter for your salvation, but it is a very helpful reminder of whose you are. You are not your own. You were bought with the price of Jesus Christ. Jesus makes it very clear in our gospel lesson that he has come for the purpose of dying for the sins of the world. The old Latin phrase, stat crux dum volvitur orbis, the cross stands still while the world turns. Our world is ever changing, but the cross of Jesus Christ does not change. His death is not only for those who were there that day, or only for the good people that were there that day, or the good people of the old covenant. No, Jesus Christ died for you. He died for me. He died for that whole world that keeps spinning away from him. It is only by his cross that we have salvation. So wear that cross proudly. Remind yourself of it daily. We don't make the sign of the cross as some sort of show. We do it to remember our baptism. You are his. Never forget that. The blood of Christ flows from the cross. His body is given. That this very night, as we feast on his body and blood, we receive the forgiveness of sins. This is why we gather, to receive this wonderful blessing and to hear his word. A word that is folly, a word that is a stumbling block, but to those of us who have been called, it is salvation. The church sings. Thy groaning and thy sighing, thy bitter tears and dying, with which thou wast oppressed, they shall, when life is ending, be guiding and attending my way to thine eternal rest. Upon the cross extended, see, world, thy Lord suspended, thy Savior yields his breath. The Prince of Life from heaven himself hath freely given to shame and blows of bitter death. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.